famous reindeer of all. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other.
It is Christmas time in Tennessee Valley, and so the trap mix of Rudolph is really what I'm into in the dirty. I don't know why people can't form their own opinion. I seek information, process it, and form an informed opinion. I'm responsible for my own, and I encourage the listener to follow suit. I wish I had known this many years ago, because the unsolicited opinions of others would not have kept me from exploring the world more than I ever wanted to. I probably would have gone further, been gone more often, if finances and time would have allowed me to be curious. I wish happiness and light to every listener, that you too will read more, endeavor to eat amazing food, hopefully locally sourced, and create happiness. Take my words as I explore books, movies, comfort foods, and my own short stories. As I write my own short stories, I should say. As I create my own joy, or at least try. Write with me if you like, and share with others if it brings you joy. Light and happiness for everyone. This is my wish for us this holiday season. So I started my Sunday morning trying to figure out how to report a theft. My Best Buy account was hacked. Someone in freaking dusty California went and used my account, ordered EarPods online, and picked them up. Evidently, they don't check for ID or anything, because I don't remember showing my ID or asking for it when I pick up in Hickson. Number one, I'm not in California. My rusty butt, I really wasn't sitting in Tennessee. I was on the road for most of the morning. Going to recycling and picking up stuff at Home Depot. So when I got a notification by email that I picked up an order at Best Buy, initially I had spun it to, I don't know how I mixed up Home Depot and Best Buy, because I think I've bought appliances at both places. But that's okay. I'm trying to also watch. You hear the background. I'm also watching Harlem, and it's freaking hysterical. It's Ty and Shayla, two lesbians, and hooking up. And this masculine lesbian is going to basically turn out Ty and kick her to the curb using Ty's own language. Both are alpha females, I guess. It is hysterical how she gets played like she plays other women. I mean, it's apropos. But anyways, I digress. So Best Buy. I have to figure out how I'm going to report that that was not me in that purchase, because I was nowhere near California or the Pacific Coast during the time of the purchase. And the hoe or hoette used my rewards certificates for a purchase that I didn't even purchase. How stupid is that? And I may actually have to cancel the card and get a new card because she had access to the entire credit card company, because the Best Buy card is actually attached to the account, so she could see my address and make other purchases. So I ended up having to change my password as well as turn on two-factor verification because of a stupid hacker. And it really burns me up that people will go and do this. It doesn't make any sense. I want them to be prosecuted to the highest length of the law, because it's not fair that I work for credit history, I work for those reward certificates, and I get grifted. It is not fair. And I'm so angry I could spit. So in the next few minutes, not only will I be filing North Carolina income taxes, which is a story for a completely other day, I will also be reporting my card, potentially reporting my card stolen, but I have to contact and wait for somebody at Best Buy to be able to discuss it, because it was not me. And I know they got this person on tape picking the shit up at wherever online order. If it's like the one in Hickson, it's probably the Geek Squad. And I bet they can at least get me a picture and wonder how this happened, because it's ridiculous. And the only reason why I knew is because I got the email for the receipt for the purchase. It's just ridiculous. So I start out frustrated, but in the end, it did make me increase or heighten my own security. And I also ended up changing several passwords because some third-party breach. I have all of these accounts. My passwords for most of my accounts have been breached. So I'm going to be systematically going through my accounts and changing passwords, because people will rather, instead of working for what they have, they will rather steal somebody else's. And you're going to actually potentially go to jail or catch a case for a misdemeanor because you wanted some AirPods. Girl, work. Donate plasma, do what you need to do, but don't steal from other people. That's ridiculous. Any given Sunday, you're going to find me in front of somewhere trying to get the score, looking up Dallas, who they playing, what they're playing, how the offense and defense are looking. And I'm absolutely happy to say that the Cowboys are looking good in these streets this week. They were talking about Dak Prescott, and he seems to be in a slump. But if you look at his average stats, the only other person in the NFL that looks worse is Aaron Rodgers lying behind. So that, with that said, who they've been talking about all week, yibber-jabbering about and writing about on the NFL Network, Fox, ESPN, not really seeing evidence of that. I'm seeing a Dallas Cowboy team that the defense seems to be banged up. Jalen Smith, after bouncing around, after he got cut from Dallas and bounced around, and now he's on the New York Giants. He's playing, he's a defender. He was a Dallas Cowboy up until a couple of weeks ago. And they cut him, and now he's playing for the Giants. I am excited about this game. It's playing in my market. So I got to watch the kickoff, which I always find exciting. And I've watched turnover after turnover with the Giants. And sometimes I give Dallas the side eye, because sometimes they don't play all that well on the road, but for the last two games, in particular, they played at FedEx Field, and now they're in Jersey playing at the Giants' home, with the Giants at the home advantage. This doesn't look, they are playing like a team that got some sense. They've been able to capitalize on every turnover by the Giants, and I have not seen that level of scramble prior games. Sometimes when they're hitting, they're hitting, and sometimes when they're not, they're not. It just so happens that this week they seem to be hitting, and I'm so proud of them this week. But then again, I'm ride or die. I was with them when Tony Romo would blow the game for them in the last 2 minutes. Sometime I think he was faking an injury. The best thing that Jerry Jones ever did was replace his ass with Dak Prescott. And this young, very talented team, we have four of the best receivers in the NFL, I think. And our defense is on point. No, it's not looking like the thugged out Dallas of yesteryear, but I'm glad to say that they seem to be keeping themselves out of trouble and focusing on the game and leaving it on the field, and it just all the time, all around good times. But anyways, enough about the Dallas Cowboys. What about this Frankenrona? I am happy that other podcasters, big shout out to the black guy that tips. Yes, it was a fumble. They had to review the fumble. That was the last turnover. It was a fair catch, and it popped out, and Dallas recovered it. But anyways, as I was saying, big shout out to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, because they actually have a Corona News segment on their podcast. Very popular podcast. You can find it on wherever you listen to podcasts, and I think his platform is Anchor, and that podcast actually gave me the idea to start moving my content to Anchor. However, I am grateful that unlike Joe Rogan, who is using his million followers to spread misinformation about the vaccine and coronavirus, that podcast is doing a great job of presenting the facts and dispelling misinformation about coronavirus. But why should non-scientific people be doing the heavy lifting? I think it's really up to the scientific community, and myself included, to basically go after and dispel a lot of this misinformation. I want you guys to know that Omicron, we've known about Omicron, I call it Frankenrona for a minute. It was first reported in Norway, sequenced and reconfirmed in South Africa, but there was a month of lag where nobody else was really reporting on it. They just found it in South Africa and said, you know, yo, this Roma, this variant ain't no joke. And so they shut down visits to southern part of Africa when it was first detected in Norway. And they never shut down travel or restricted travel to those areas. And it's been allowed to fester and to spread. And it has been here longer than what people think. We just weren't testing for it. That's number one. Who is the most affected if you are not vaccinated? What makes it so infectious, and why we need to be boosted, and why am I boosted, bitch? One, because y'all nasty. I'm still wearing my mask. I had to upgrade my mask. I'm still not going to be going around a whole bunch of people because of Frankenrona. Why is it Frankenrona? The spike protein, these little bitty things, proteins that are on the outside of the virus that allow it to attach to cells. The issue with this is when it changes its genetic sequence, the antibodies that we produce as part of the defense against coronavirus can't recognize it and block it from attaching. The other part of that is because spike protein is so bizarre, it's still having, it may be less effective because it can't attach as effectively to cells to cause infection. But the second part of immunity, if you're fucking vaccinated or you've, that will work in your favor, is the T cells. That's the other, that's the special, consider them like special teams. We're talking about Sunday football. Consider it's the special teams to get you over the goal to beat this big bat. There are natural killer cells that basically all they do is seek out and destroy this bitch. And then there's the helper T cells that just help the B cells produce the antibodies and help the natural killer cells find these bitches and get rid of. And when you have AIDS or some other type of immune disorder, you don't have that, none of that works effectively. But if you do have an intact immune system and you are firing on all fours, all of that is specific, is COVID specific. It is really regulated, and then you can get rid of this shit. When it's not regulated, if you have natural infection and the immune system just goes butt booty crazy, that's when you have overreaction and just start melting everything away. So you don't want that. So the bottom line is, fully vaccinated means, to me, two vaccines and boosted, and you three days to 7 days out from your booster. That is fully vaccinated to me. CDC guidelines say you're fully vaccinated if you've had at least two doses of the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. And also, they're not recommending vaccination against with the J&J because they have found that you have less, it's less effective against not only the Delta variant, but definitely against the Franken-Rona. And also because of the clotting disorder that's associated with this one shot vaccine. So I also wanted to discuss something I had also heard on Black Guys Who Tips. It seems that everyone that has gone to court to demand to get ivermectin is dead. Tamara Drock, a Pennsylvania man, Keith Smith, whose wife took the hospital to court to get her husband ivermectin, he dead. Ohio man dead. Let's be clear. Ivermectin does not treat or protect you in any way, shape, or form from coronavirus. When they're throwing other anti-inflammatories at you like Zithromax and dexamethasone, the bull is out the gate. That's, they're just trying to calm down the overreactive immune system. The only treatments that we have against coronavirus activity is remdesivir for now, because with Franken-Rona running wild and taking over the world, I'm not sure of the effectiveness of remdesivir going forward. We got the COVID pill, and we got the Regeneron monoclonal antibodies, which may not be as effective against Franken-Rona. The bottom line is, y'all, it's easier to get vaccinated and get boosted. Coronavirus sucks. Just like cancer sucks, coronavirus sucks. And what we have found is, with our research through cancer and through HIV, we're going to get more effective treatments. But why are you going to wait 2 years out the gate when you could die from natural infection? just get vaccinated, is what I'm saying. And that's the truth. And then I'm giving, who am I giving my side eye to today? I'm giving the side eye to Joe Manukin, the congressman from West Virginia, who I think has had some post-concussive injury in, or a stroke, because he's acting, he said he's a Democrat, but he's doing everything to block and to make our Democratic president, who is trying to make a difference, look stupid. What beef does he have with the president? What is his problem? I don't know, but you need to keep an eye on that fool. And I'm wondering if we're going to be able to set a precedent for kicking him out of the Democratic Party for just being stupid. The Republicans tolerate dumbness. We're not going to tolerate a moderate Republican-speaking Democrat. That's nonsense, and it's hypocrisy. And he need to go and sit down somewhere. And that's all I got to say about that. I'm not going to give him or waste my energy or have my blood pressure shoot up over some blasted Joe Manukin. He need to go back to his toe-down state and go and have many seats. I'm just saying. And what is the point of blocking everything that could possibly help your own people? Isn't he like a poser because people going to vote him out and just get somebody in there that will, that's basically saying the same rhetoric because he's not doing their game, so they're going to get another Republican. He's like a decoy of stupid. But that's all I got to say about that. Anybody that, I'm sure that if you're listening to this podcast, you've already seen Thursday's version of Star Trek Discovery, the examples. It appears that the anomaly that destroyed Booker's, who is Captain Burnham's now significant other's homeworld, has shown up, disappeared, and is no way a natural phenomena. It seems that this phenomena is so destructive and such pure evil that, of course, it can only be not naturally occurring. It is probably man-made or some other type of species. They even brought up the Q, who has the technology to build something so devious. They mentioned a couple of species that I had never heard of, the Iconians, as well as the Q. And it seems that Booker is still having an issue, still in the midst of his grief, because I mean, it's technically still very fresh. And he wants to go on this mission. He feels the only way that he is able to deal with it, he says he wants to keep busy. I keep noticing that he is fine. He's tall, he's just has the right amount of muscles, broad shoulders. He has those eyes that kill me. Speaking of eyes, I'm going to digress. I also watched Bruised. With Halle Berry. I didn't think I was going to like it, but is that actually good? And what I think I liked most about it was the fact that that little kid, his eyes were just so defining, and I realize now that those eyes that seems like they just look into your soul reminds me of the Booker character in Star Trek Discovery. I'm a sucker for eyes, especially men's eyes. But this little boy's eyes, it's just not that they're sad per se. It's just that his eyes are all knowing. And it just struck me as, it's just he has too much wisdom for someone to be that little. And I just found it to be astonishing. What kills me about Star Trek Discovery is how all of the scientists and a lot of the officers are very arrogant, seeming appealing. They all seem to have some lack of social courtesy or social skills. And they've introduced another scientist, Tarka, into the mix as far as to work with the Discovery crew about the Spore Drive and to help figure out taking the data and help figuring out either where this anomaly is now, who actually created the anomaly, and therefore somehow stopping it. I find it very interesting that they are, I don't know if it's confidence or arrogance per se. CGI, and what I'm also finding is CGI technology and green screens make very cool fight scenes. When they actually burn them in Brooklyn on the prison colony to remove the prisoners, they get to use holo technology to investigate. To investigate and to explore their world. It kind of frees them up because the flow technology is so cool. It projects the computer screen. They get faster and faster as because it's basically, it sounds like it's almost working with their synaptic connections in their brain. So they don't have to have tricorders and they don't have to have any of those things. I could have swore they were working on something where the suits were actually become weaponized and they could usually just shoot a, become the suit would become a phaser. But I haven't seen that. I don't think I've seen that since they actually, since season 3, I think. But how cool would that be? I like their new uniforms, too, a lot better. Or their away team uniforms. They're pretty slick. I'm also interested in getting that Cowpian, I've said this before, that Cowpian council medal that Mr. Saru wears. And I'm also not a fan of this Tarka character. He has no edit. He has no social skills. Oh, now I get what they were trying to do. They had to test the use if... I don't know if they needed to test to see if a wormhole could contain this thing, or is this a created wormhole that's actually destroying everything in its path? Because I honestly think if it is... this is how we're going to have a connection to another Star Trek series, Deep Space Nine, because it could be the wormhole aliens. That may have created this, since they have no concept of time, space, and other species except for their own. They may have inadvertently... created an inverse of this anomaly to shield themselves or to protect themselves from whoever, from the rest, any other entities, since they themselves are so not xenophobic or other species, they're just not aware and they have no real concept of other existences except for their own. This anomaly may just be this, because it doesn't conform to any known laws of physics, since the wormhole aliens don't conform to any law of physics. This may have been inadvertent result of them trying to protect themselves. I firmly believe that. I would hope that nobody did this to destroy the rest of the universe intentionally, because that would really suck, wouldn't you think? And the story is built out just trying to get as many people out of its way while they do more research and figure it out. But I have a feeling the wormhole aliens are probably going to be a part of that. Also, I think the examples which these people are, you seem so... basically harkens back to ancient America, you can say it, where they used to put criminals on display in the town square. Because these prison cells are open air, and you look down on them and it seems like people can come by and make fun of them or whatever. They also have a pretty rigid system for one, a simple infarction, you could get 30 years. I find it annoying that the only indigenous looking guy there, he did actually murder someone. He said he deserved his life sentence. And he's always felt bad. Someone took him in, he took advantage, and he killed the stranger, and the daughter was in the other room. He also stole their genetic tree. He kept it safe one day, returning it to her. He stays behind and gives the orb or whatever to Burnham, and Burnham then returns it to the survivor of this family. And she finally gets to add herself to the tree and then explore everyone else, her family. It's a continuity of a line for this particular race of people. She lost it at a traumatic event. And her world was destroyed, but she was reunited with the people of her past. She still had that connection as her world destroyed. I find that apropos. You also get to see the struggles of the doctor character, Cruz. He's so cool. And he seems to, as he gets older, he's also becoming finer too, for whatever reason. His body is also kicking. I also am.
That's not what I said at all.
Yes, it is.
I find the set of Star Trek Discovery to be, although it seems futuristic, a lot of the Danish designers I'm seeing, and some of the Danish and Swedish designers, are actually has that type of aesthetic. You can tell that the set designers are talented and they had the money to create one of the best sets, I think, of Star Trek. I don't know if Picard is going to be able to live up to this, or if they're going to give them the same type of funding, because this set and this starship seems to me to be the bomb. It seems like the whole aesthetic storyline for this particular one is absolutely very good. The acting is good. The action is good. And also the science is pretty cool too. I like the special effects. Can't go wrong when you spend it right and you spend it well when you use CGI. So, in an effort not to get banned from Spotify and other platforms, I started writing my own content as far as serializing short stories and podcasts, et cetera, and my own script, because I want to be able to create content that I would read and potentially other people would want to read and then pay for. I have not been lucky yet to have sponsors. So I'll continue to create as I am encouraged or inspired to create. And I plan on continuing to create or add to Four Bridges Over Chattanooga, because I got this, it's a mystique about Chattanooga that I want to express. This Four Bridges Over Chattanooga is a story that it's surrounded or based on no one. It's probably a combination of people that I would want to hang out with or to find or to become my friend. And I love the Wanda Bird character, who is a middle-aged black woman who basically owns most of North Shore, if you believe the story. She only has one living child out of four after starting out as a teenage mother many years ago. And she was a young grandmother, and she raised her grandchildren as a second chance. As a chance to start over and make what she couldn't or didn't do for her kids, she basically poured in to Jackie, who is Jay Boogie, and Abel, her grandson. This is part two, which I have published. You can read it in entirety if you become a patron of the podcast on Patreon. But excerpts from both of these reads are actually available on the Dale's Angels Inc. blog under the Melanated Nerd. So here we go. Sunday NFL football, no other place on earth that besides the evangelical church sermons that one activity dominates the airwaves on any given Sunday in the U.S. The NFL commands the devoted fans' attention now Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night. I also need to check to see if, yes, we do play them. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. So I'm going to have to, if my order from Instacart is early, I'm going to have to finish this read because I'm going to have to get ready to go out and pick up my order to be able to watch kickoff. And I'm hopeful it's going to be playing on Fox. That's the other thing about out of market games. I can't get them all, and I don't want to subscribe to DirecTV for another another show, because yes, it does. It is going to be on Fox. So that's good. And then we play Dallas again on the 26th, and that airs on the NFL network. So that's interesting. But anyways, so it is in market, so I will be able to watch that game. But anyways, how cool is that, that I'm actually talking about this? And it is Sunday. I'm recording this, and this is the short story that is based on that and Sunday football, Dallas football game. But anyways, Hot Diggity Dog on the north shore of town is where you find the Bird family hosting a Dallas Cowboy tailgate on the rooftop, which is so unlike me because I don't like really being around groups of people or people I don't know. But anyways, the host, Big Mom Wanda, was all blinged out in her football helmet-shaped drop diamond earring studded Star Dallas matching charm necklace in the shape of a Super Bowl ring, Diamante studded Stetsons, pink rhinestone studded team throwback. Her grandchildren, Jay Boogie with her camouflage throwback, and Abel with a fitted Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit topped with a bedazzled Stetson and rhinestone and go-go boots size 14, but their gear is only topped by other true fans descending on the neighborhood restaurant for this season-long tradition. Outside of the larger chain sports bar and restaurants, Hot Diggity had the best flat screens retracted into their weatherproof consoles, which I priced one for my house. It's like 7 G's for a company in California. Gas heaters and the rooftop area provided the amazing backdrop of downtown and the river. There now was a standing wait list of years duration since the remodel finished 4 years ago. This Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys played the Titans in Nashville. There were several standout students from Howard High School that played in the NFL over the years, and one in particular, Big Ma's one-time junior ring dance day, Vance Carter. Vance, another Chattanooga native, also from the hood, but did not get lost to the streets. Pop Warner and the varsity teams from junior high through high school would give him an opportunity to play on a dominant SEC team other than the University of Florida Gainesville, fast-tracking him to the NFL. He would play 10 seasons with the Cowboys, his last two seasons, 93 and 94, with Super Bowl wins. He then would stay with the defensive staff, first training and then sideline caller, then assistant defensive coordinator for the rest of his career. Most of his family would join him in Dallas, but then move back home to Middle Tennessee, not too far from the neighborhood and friends of his youth. Junior ring dance, great music, freedom, hot guys and girls, everyone oozing sexual energy. That night was also the last time Wanda B was just a kid. She had just turned 15 and she went to the prom with a standout football player in her early pregnancy, transforming her teenage body temporarily with woman curves. One of the main reasons the larger-than-life junior varsity player, Vance, invited her to the dance. She was well into her first trimester with her first child. From a drug dealer gambler who would die after getting beaten to death after smoking up his product, Vance genuinely liked the teenage Wanda. They had grown up together. Her family of street fighters and drug dealers was the same as his own. His choir boy jock persona made him popular at Howard, but he still lacked the swagger to pull and hold more popular girls. Wanda was smart, and her toothy grin had enthralled him since elementary school. She would always wait on him and his lunk-headed teammates at the 12th Street Diner, her first of many jobs, and he would always chat her up between orders. He knew who she was dating, and he had a mother and sisters of childbearing age, so when her body changed, her and her nose started that spread, he also knew the chances were great that she also was carrying a child. No pressure on him to perform sexually. He could just have a night of dancing and just be free. She understood the why of being asked by the jock. She was known from an area of town of fast girls. Yes, she would have probably slept with him, but she knew what was up before. She never wanted to trap him. She always wondered, what if she was free? What if she could have followed him to Florida State and then on to Dallas? More, if she had not had the three kids before the age of 20, that would change the trajectory of her life forever. Until we meet again, I'll slide into your DMs. Wanda wouldn't get the opportunity to begin her life until she was middle age. Her own children were lost to the streets. Tretch, short for treacherous, her oldest and Abel's father was shot and killed over drugs. Sonny Jr. went to state penitentiary over his third drug strike, became a snitch and was stabbed 40 times in a prison, and there were no witnesses. Brandy, her oldest daughter, was the one of the first casualties of the opioid crisis. She would OD, and paranoia would drive her and her car off a lookout mountain. Only Jackie's mother, I need to change that, Caroline, made it alive into adulthood and out of Chattanooga by abandoning her daughter with Big Mom. Because it's Wanda Grace. This Sunday AFC game tailgate, Jay Boogie would set up and they would live stream the party at Hot Diggity. The restaurant opened to premium sidewalk space and was most of the bottom of the Natlas building owned by Wanda. The stream and comments would be liked and reshared on Twitter and across most of the major platforms. So much so that the restaurant's Insta page would crash. It would take Jay Boogie most of halftime to get it back up. When the feed was restored, there were so many messages coming through, and it was spiked to another 80,000 views. It seemed like everyone in Middle Tennessee was watching the game, everybody remembering the Vance Carter Howard High School connection. I need to basically change this because the Nautilus building had, which exists on Market or Fraser, the bottom is occupied by a gift store. There is the Coolidge Park entrance, and then there is the rest of that market or strip of shops that used to occupy by the Boar Head and Barrel, something like that, which went out of business at the beginning of the pandemic, and it closed last year, I think. But that whole strip actually dips down to the back where the park is. So technically, if I moved Hot Diggity out of the Nautilus building into where the Pig and Barrel used to be, it technically, because it's open air to the sidewalk, and I believe because the top of that would, that overlooks Fraser, could support what I'm actually talking about with still views of downtown. I think I'm going to be able to, I'm going to modify that in the short story. The game itself was good with a trouncing of the Titans 3 and Dallas 38. This would allow the celebration to go on past the final buzzer. Jackie came to her aunt, who was playing spades with customers on the rooftop next to the heaters. It was much older former students from Howard High School. She bent down to show grandmother a message from Vance Carter himself on the restaurant's page. VC of Howard. Hey, is this the owner of Hot Diggity at all connected to my date from Howard High Junior Ring Dance in 89? Hot Diggity. Laugh out loud. Yes, that's me. Guess what? I am playing cards with some of your teammates on the rooftop, and I'm smoking these fools. He sends many laughing emojis. It gets dark so early, but I bet the aquarium and downtown were lit up like crazy. J Boogie snaps a quick picture, sending it to his inbox directly. And I show, and I have a picture of the downtown over the bridge. Yes, it does. Then the phone rings at the restaurant, and Abel, the de facto bartender and bouncer in a mini skirt, bring over the court list to Big Ma Wanda. Hello? Vance reintroduces himself and then says, it's been a while, Wanda says, smiling into the phone. Well, Vance Carter, I'm glad I didn't wait by the phone for that second date, Vance clearing his throat. Well, I'm still a slow starter, and by the time I wanted to ask you out again, you were in labor with Big Tretch's son, so no way was I strolling up to Erlanger. Wanda, but you sent the nicest flowers, the only flowers. I never did thank you for that, and Violet's my favorite, Vance. Wow, you remembered? I remembered your corsage from Junior Ring Dance. So the team is headed back to Dallas tomorrow, but I can follow up a little bit later in a few days with direct flights to Dallas from Chad. I would like to stop by if you're available tomorrow. I would like to catch up and have lunch. Taking the views? Wanda, I will be here. If you get here after 12, we can have hot links on the roof if it's not raining. Vance, as long as you have soft Wonder Bread and spicy mustard to go with them, I'm good. Wanda laughs, her namesake body laughter. You still country as hell, but I dig that. The old friends sink into an easy cadence of familiarity as if almost 40 years hadn't passed since they last said goodbye. They exchange mobile phone numbers, and after stalling the hang-up, they finally say goodbye. And just like that, they were transported back almost 40 years to a time when they were both young, but still looking forward to the future. The end, next chapter 3, The City of Lights. But actually, I renamed it. It should be The City of Lights and How Not to Be a Bitter Bitch. So I'm going to leave y'all with that, because this episode is running long, and I hope you tune in to next week where I continue the read of part 3 of Four Bridges Over Chattanooga.
Hey, is everybody ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's been a while since joy has come along.
So long.
And I'm so glad it's finally here.
Woo! See, this has become my song. If you've actually been following me on Instagram, you know I have been just rolling out and doing reels based on Joy, Comfort, and Peace by the JCPenney and the Curtis family. But check it. I think I fussed enough for this past week between Corona and Manukin and just being able to create and read my own content has been a joy for me to put together this podcast. I invite you to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook if you like. Check out what I'm reading or attempting to try to read behind my selections of chatterbooks, as well as on my book club page. And I hope you have a great holiday season. Eat great food. Be around people that don't make your head hurt. And I'm just going to leave you with a little bit of plan, joy, comfort, and peace. That is what I wish all my listeners. And have a great Sunday, y'all.